Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's July 17th, 2014. Here are top stories.
Tonight, the political blame game begins after a flight is shot down in Ukraine. And President Obama proves that the pen is mightier than the AK-47 as he signs away Second Amendment rights. That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
They're going for broke! This is it, dumbasses! There's no more time to screw around! Get yourselves in gear, police, that serve this system!
Well, war is breaking out everywhere. We have two stories, one about an airliner that shut down in the Ukraine, and that is being used by many parties to try to push for a broader, more escalated war. Also, Israel has invaded Gaza. We're going to cover both of those tonight, but first, the airline in the Ukraine. The FAA has been warning for quite some time for planes not to fly over that area. The FAA prohibited U.S. airlines back on April the 25th from flying over the disputed area where this plane was shot down. And also, the United Nations warned airlines back in April 3rd to avoid the area. Nevertheless, they did fly over this area. 295 people have been killed, no survivors from that plane. It's a great tragedy, but the greater tragedy would be to allow forces to expand this into a world war. And we've seen that narrative being used over and over again, just as we saw in Syria a year ago. Remember that it was just one minor royal figure who was shot that triggered World War I 100 years ago, approximately. How much more so could they use the death of 295 people to try to start World War III? Well, the question on everybody's mind now is, who shot down the Malaysian airliner? There is a report that Paul Joseph Watson has put up, very good report, analyzing what at this moment everybody is saying, pro and con from both different sides. We're going to look, though, more at the press coverage and what the people in the United States government are using to try to push for war, how that's being echoed by CNN and others to push for it. Now, the Western press has wasted no time at all in immediately identifying the precise missile that was used and, of course, identifying pro-Russian forces as being the ones who shot it down. We see on CNN, and here's a story from the Mirror in the UK, showing the Buk Russian-built surface-to-air missile launcher. Now, they're saying that the altitude that this took place rules out the 15,000 approximately man-pad surface-to-air missiles that the American government has put in the hands of terrorists worldwide. So they say it needs to be something other than that, and they're identifying this Buk launcher. Now, they don't have anything really to go on by except for a tweet that was put up momentarily and then taken down supposedly by the rebel forces. They supposedly tweeted out that they had shot it down and that came down. That should be suspicious to anybody who's been watching what's been revealed in the last couple of weeks from the Snowden documents, showing that the government has an all-out campaign to control public opinion through social media. But look at where they're coming from with this. They point out that the rebels had these Buk launchers, that they stole them from the Ukrainian government. Well, if they stole them from the Ukrainian government still has them. Look at this article going back to July. This is the 5th of July, and the caption on this picture says, Ukrainian government forces are maneuvering anti-aircraft missile launchers, Buk launchers, as they're being transported. So the Ukrainian government has it as well. Then we see a story from about 6 days earlier. On June 29th, there was a story that came out of ITAR TASS news agency saying that the Donetsk Defense Forces have taken control of an army unit equipped with missile defense systems. And again, they identify that same Buk missile system, saying, however, that they don't know the number or the condition of the missiles that they have. Now, this should sound very, very similar. Just 1 year ago in Syria, there was a sarin gas attack. We were told at the time that the only possible suspect could be the Assad government, that they were the only ones who had sarin gas. However, there had been previous sarin gas attacks. And we learned from UN investigations, as well as from Russian investigations, that that sarin gas attack was done by rebel forces, not by government forces. Still, the Obama administration pushed forward, trying to push us into an escalated war. At that point, American forces released information showing the same intel. And that started to bring things down. Now we see the same thing happening here. We're told precisely what this missile is, even though they don't have any pictures or eyewitnesses of this missile. They say it must be this Buk launcher. And we're told that rebels had Buk launchers, so because they stole them from the Ukrainian government, so it must have been the rebels, even though both sides have possession of that same rocket launcher. Now, Strobe Talbert of the Brookings Institute has wasted no time at all. Remember that the Brookings Institute is a very influential think tank, perhaps the most influential think tank for the Democrats. It's left-leaning. And he tweeted out right away that Russia was to blame for shooting down the Malaysian airline plane. And he said he subsequently pulled that down, even though it had by that time been retweeted about 1,000 times. Now, an expert, an aviation expert in this article that Paul Joseph Watson quotes, Major Charles Heyman, told Sky News in the UK that it's likely that he thought Ukrainians were responsible for the incident. Why not? We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But let's look at some more reactions. More Democrats are blaming Russia for the passenger plane shootdown. This is an article from Kurt Nimmo. This is a quote from the New Republic, and this is what this writer says. Make no mistake, this is a really, really, really big deal. This is the first downing of a civilian jetliner in this conflict, and if it were the rebels who brought it down, all kinds of ugly things will follow. For one thing, what seemed to be gelling into a frozen local conflict has now broken into a new phase that directly threatens European security. The plane, let's recall, was flying from Amsterdam. Now, she's not alone. CNN has also said this is a watershed event. For the first time, it focuses world attention on this Russian and Ukraine conflict. Really? For the first time? This is something that is not a local conflict. Our Western press has been pushing this so hard that they have succeeded in reviving the Cold War to the levels that it hasn't been for decades. So this is not anything new. What's new is that they now have another excuse that they can try to push, just as they did the sarin gas attack. And it's not just Democrats, it's Republicans as well. John McCain, of course, and I'm sure Lindsey Graham will be joining him. Those are the two war hawks that love to always push for war in every event, no matter what happens. Well, McCain says that Putin should pay if the Malaysian airline jet was shot down. He says it's determined that Ukrainian separatists, if it's determined that Ukrainian separatists shot down the Malaysian Airlines plane that crashed on Thursday, Vladimir Putin should face the consequences, said John McCain. And this is reported by Roll Call. Well, you know, what would those consequences be? We need to ask about that, just as we need to ask what the consequences would be if we escalated the Syrian war as well. Now, is this something that could have been done by the Ukrainians, as other people have suggested? Let's remember history before we jump into an even broader war. Remember that even though it was largely ignored in the American press because it happened right after September 11th in 2001, it was back in October of 2001 that the Ukrainians actually did shoot down a Russian airliner over the Black Sea. And it took them 9 days to admit it, but going back to this Guardian article in 12th of October 2001, they say a Ukrainian official today admitted that his country's military may have mistakenly shot down a Russian commercial airliner over the Black Sea last week, killing all 78 people on board. And they went on to say the reason for the crash could be an unintentional hit by an S-200 missile during Ukrainian air defense exercises. Well, they didn't need to have a Buk missile system. They could have shot it down with an S-200. Who knows what kind of missile shot it down, if it was in fact shot down by a missile. I mean, it could have been blown up by a terrorist bomb on board. But note that they said that this happened, they think, by mistake during a Ukrainian air defense missile drill. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like something that happened in America 18 years ago on this very day, July 17th, 1996? Well, that's what Anderson Cooper said on CNN. Here's his comment.
No doubt about it. I want to go to our Ben Wiedemann, who's in Gaza City. Before I do, I just want to correct something I said regarding the plane crash. Earlier, I said that today was the anniversary of flight TWA-800 crashing off the coast of Long Island in 1996. I believe I said it was shot down. Obviously, the government said it was a center fuel tank explosion, though some people had indicated they saw a rocket. There's no evidence of that. It was ruled to be a center fuel tank explosion, so I apologize for misspeaking about that anniversary.
That was his retraction. Earlier, he had said and just moved on that Flight 800 was shot down on this same day in 1996. Over 200 people were killed in that incident. And there were many, many eyewitnesses. It was just a year ago, remember, that Yahoo News covered and we put up on Infowars.com, but TWA Flight 800 crash was not due to a gas tank explosion, says former investigators. Now, this is an article about a documentary that was about to be released a year ago, and they said six former investigators who took part in the film say there was a cover-up, and they want the case reopened. This is a senior accident investigator for the National Transportation Safety Board who said there was a lack of coordination and willful denial of information. He said there were 755 witnesses to Flight 800, TWA Flight 800. At no time was any of their information provided by the witnesses shared by the FBI with the National Transportation Safety Board. Jim Spear, an accident investigator at the time of the crash for the Airline Pilots Association, who shifted through the recovered wreckage in a hangar, said he discovered holes consistent with those that would have been formed by a high-energy blast in the right wing. He requested that it be tested for explosives. When the test came back positive for explosives, he was physically removed from the room by two CIA agents. So before we jump into war, let's understand that the Ukraine actually did, in 2001, actually did shoot down a Russian airliner. They admitted it. They said it was an accident, that it flew over an area where they were having naval exercises. We have 755 witnesses who actually saw a missile going towards Flight 800. We have pilots who said they saw a flare going up into the plane for Flight 800. And yet our government lied about that, and they covered that up. And yet our government knows exactly what the missile was and who fired it within just a short period of time in the Ukraine. I don't think we need to take that very seriously, but let's look at something else that touches on government lies about plane crashes. Let's take a look at the pictures of this plane crash. Now remember, this is a plane crash that as of this moment, everyone agrees it was hit by a missile at about 30,000 feet in the air, broke up in the air, and crashed to the ground. And I want you to take a look at the pictures online at this crash site and compare the pictures of this crash site in the Ukraine where we have a plane that exploded at 30,000 feet and then hit the ground. We had a lot of witnesses say they saw it come in. I want you to compare that to Flight 93 that we're told drove straight into the ground that did not explode in midair. Now, at this plane site in Malaysia, they said they had at least 100 bodies that have been found so far at the scene. Wreckage has spread across an area of about 9 miles in diameter. Now, when we go back and we look at the Flight 93 crash, what happened there, there were three debris fields, actually. Four if we count the engine. In addition to the primary crash site, there were two other large debris fields separated by miles. In this case, it was about 8 miles. So in the case of the plane today, it was about a 9 mile radius for the crash debris. In the case of Flight 93, it was about 8 miles. And if you look at the pictures of the crash sites, you see that there is one primary crash site on this map, and then there's an engine located a good distance away from that, and then two other major debris fields, about the same size as United Flight 93, which we're told hit the ground. But now, of course, there were airplane parts there. Were there any airplane parts at the Pentagon? We were told that a plane flew into the Pentagon, flew into a building, and completely vaporized, completely disappeared. That building was more destructive to the plane than a plane flying directly into the ground. That simply is not believable. It's not believable from the size of the hole at the Pentagon either. So compare the information that you're getting, compare the summaries and the conclusions that they have arrived at that fit their political agenda. Compare that to the stories that we've heard previously. Stories that have also fit a political agenda. Stories about planes on 9/11. Stories about Flight 800 and TWA. Now, there were 295 people who died in this plane crash today. There have been over 200 people, even before the Israeli invasion today, over 200 Palestinians had been killed by Israeli rockets. And today, Israel began a ground assault of the Gaza Strip. This is a massive assault, air, land, and sea. Israel began its ground invasion of the Gaza Strip shortly after 10 p.m. Thursday night, Tel Aviv time, saying it would target tunnels that infiltrate its territory. Now, it was just yesterday that the BBC reported the death toll of over 209 days of shelling by the Israelis. And, of course, that came in the wake of these four children who were killed on a Gaza beach. And as they were attacking today, CNN was saying that it was one of the most densely populated areas. They didn't know what the casualties were yet, but they knew that there would be a lot of casualties of Palestinians. Well, yes, take a look at how densely populated Gaza City is. Comparing it to some of the other cities around the world, it has 42,600 people per square mile. Now, to give you an idea of what that is, the Washington Post has an article here showing these relative sizes of different cities. Now, they've got some cities like Mumbai and Hong Kong and Karachi, Pakistan. But if you want to compare it to some American cities or to some other cities in Europe, for example, let's compare it to Tel Aviv. There they are right there, about 15,000. Same approximate size, population density as London. Those are about three times less dense in terms of population than Gaza City is. New York City, for reference, is about 27,000. If you look at Manhattan, it's 69,000. Those aren't shown on the chart. Miami is 10,000. LA is 10,000. So that gives you an idea that when Gaza City has 42,000 people per square mile, that is a very heavily populated area. Washington and Chicago, only about 3,500, about one-twelfth as densely populated. So when they invade this small area with this many people in there, the casualties are going to be gigantic. And we don't have much information right now other than the fact that the invasion has started. There will, of course, be more information about that as the situation develops. Now, today, Obama banned the purchasing of any AK-47s. And this, of course, is also tied into the Ukrainian conflict. This is part of the sanctions on Russia. But there's something else to this that should cause us all some concern, and that is what the Treasury Department put on their site. Many of the sanctions are based on United Nations and other international mandates. They are multilateral in scope and involve close cooperation with allied governments, according to the Treasury Department. That, of course, is the article up on Infowars.com by Kurt Nemo. And Kurt Nemo also points out this. He said the criminalization of an entire line of foreign manufactured firearms is possible, they say, under, quote, national emergency powers. And there is no appeal process. This should frighten us a great deal. The fact that he could maintain that what is going on in the Ukraine, even before this airliner was shot down, constituted a national emergency, and that he could prohibit the purchasing of AK-47s, which happened to be the most effective weapon for a civilian population to protect itself because they are so forgiving of maintenance. They're very easy to keep using them. They take all kinds of abuse and they keep clicking. They're kind of like the Energizer Bunny of military rifles. Now, I think it's also interesting to look back about a year again, back to August of last year, 2013, a story by Kit Daniels, where the U.S. Army bought 600,000 Soviet AK-47 magazines. Magazines. They're trying to get those magazines, I guess, off of the market, just like they're trying to dry up the market for other types of ammunition. So these are 600,000 magazines. Each of them fully loaded. That means they've got 18 million rounds. And to try to give people an idea of just how large this would be, how heavy it would be, Kit Daniels, to put it in perspective, said all these magazines combined weigh more than 7 18-wheelers at the maximum legal weight of 80,000 pounds. In other words, that's a lot of magazines. And these were AK-47s. Now, it gets even more interesting because the federal government, in buying all of these AK-47 fully loaded magazines, is buying something that's not even being used by the U.S. military or by NATO. And now, of course, Obama has used an executive order to infringe on the Second Amendment, saying that what's going on in the Ukraine is already a national emergency. They're pushing for war, just as they pushed for war in Syria. We got them to back down last year. We need to get people to back off of this rhetoric that's being pushed by both Fox News and CNN and MSNBC. All the mainstream mockingbird media is pushing that we need to do something about this. The Republicans and the Democrats are both trying to use this airliner going down as justification to come after Russia, to come after Putin, to expand the new Cold War into a hot shooting war. Now stay with us. Right after the break, we have a special report on something that's a little bit lighter. They're giving gorillas and polar bears Prozac in the zoos. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
My friends, Alex Jones here to tell you about some of the most important information concerning you and your family's health. Radiation levels have more than doubled in the last 60 years in the Northern Hemisphere. From all of the nuclear testing and radiological accidents, radioactive contamination is now in most of the food supply. There's only two ways to avoid this. Move south of the equator or properly protect your thyroid with Nascent Iodine. Looking to protect my family, I've done deep research. Nascent Iodine is the purest, cleanest, absolute best form of iodine to protect yourself and your family. It's made right here in the USA, completely non-GMO. I searched out the best quality and now have developed a double-strength form of Nascent Iodine, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Nascent Iodine is on record as one of the only safe ways to detox from fluoride poisoning. Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Secure your super high-quality Nascent Iodine today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. From the water table to our soils to the atmosphere itself, our world is becoming more and more toxic each and every day. But it's not just the air outside that's toxic. Indoor air has been shown to have 2 to 5 times higher concentrations of pollutants than even outdoor air. And most Americans spend 90% of their time inside using toxic chemicals within their homes. There are more than 42 million smokers in the United States. Well over 1,000 types of mold and mildew linked to numerous conditions. And don't forget the fact that 6 million Americans live with pets they're allergic to as well. When I began to research these statistics, it was clear to me it was time to start cleansing my lungs in order to combat the toxic environment that we cannot escape but that we can fight back against. Made with organic and wild cultivated herbs and manufactured in the USA, the new InfoWars Life Lung Cleanse is here in a convenient spray bottle that can be brought with you throughout any toxic environment. Now available exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
There's a new book that's come out. It's called Animal Madness: How Anxious Dogs, Compulsive Parrots, and Elephants in Recovery Can Help Us to Understand Ourselves. Now, the interesting thing about this book is that rather than looking at drugs being tested on animals, it takes drugs that have first been, of course, tested on animals, then used routinely on humans, and now have gone full circle back into the zoo. And so it provides us some interesting insights. And of course, in reviews, people have talked about anthropomorphism. In other words, projecting human characteristics onto animals. I say to speak of mental illness in animals requires a degree of anthropomorphizing. Or this is a humane, insightful, beautifully written book. Animal Madness gives anthropomorphism a good name. What about anthropomorphism in reverse? Yes, are we treating humans like animals? Let's take a look at a couple of the excerpts from the book. But before we do, there's also another school of thought in how we control animals, and of course is the B.F. Skinner Behavioral Modification School. We use positive operant conditioning to control the animals. Skinner's techniques are actually a humane way to communicate with and to control animals. The problem arises with the reverse anthropomorphism when Skinner starts to treat humans as animals, devoid of freedom and dignity. Of course, much of our government's interaction with everyone from children in schools to airplane travelers with TSA is based on positive operant conditioning. In other words, let me touch you wherever I want and I'll reward you with allowing you to get on a plane. Now, of course, the other popular way to control people is with pharmaceuticals.
If Mr. McMurphy doesn't want to take his medication orally, I'm sure we can arrange that he can have it some other way.
Brightman's book gives us some perspectives on that. Now, Thorazine, of course, was first tested on rats, and what they found was that even though rats could easily climb up a rope to get to some food, once they put them on Thorazine, they couldn't be bothered. Even when they knew a shock was coming on, they would just sit there. What happened when they gave Thorazine to a gorilla in the zoo? This is a gorilla that was going to have to be relocated to a very small cage for a period of 6 months while his usual habitat was repaired. So what they did to help him cope was what any good psychiatrist would do. They put some Thorazine in his coke. What did that do for him? Well, the zookeeper said he shuffled back and forth across his cage with dulled eyes. It was a little like watching the men in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Now, a review of her book that's on Wired.com today covers a couple of interesting anecdotes entitled, Even the Gorillas and Bears in Our Zoo Are Hooked on Prozac. They look at what happens when we take these drugs that we've now approved for massive use on humans and then turn around and use them on animals in the zoo. Gus, the famous polar bear from the Central Park Zoo, was put on Prozac because he was swimming for 12 hours a day. Now, as an aside, that's what polar bears do. They range over hundreds of miles, and of course, that's why you see all these pictures of polar bears sitting on ice floes, looking like they're forlorn, like their habitat is melting. No, they range over several hundred miles a day. So this polar bear was swimming 12 hours a day, and they said that that is 0.00009% of his usual habitat. But of course, instead of giving him a larger habitat, which they couldn't do, they put him on Prozac to try to control his behavior. Now, some of the zookeepers who were using psychopharmaceuticals on these animals were curious if other zoos were doing the same thing. Half of the 31 institutions throughout the U.S. and Canada that responded to their survey had used psychopharmaceuticals on their gorillas. But here's the interesting thing about it. They said, no one is going to admit it. Why are they ashamed of the fact that they're using psychopharmaceuticals on animals in the zoo, and they're not ashamed of using it on humans? And, of course, that's the real question. The new reboot of the Planet of the Apes series has big pharma experiments going out of control with devastating consequences for humans. But the reality is that big pharma has been out of control for a long time and with devastating consequences. These drugs are now being prescribed even for animals in the zoo are being used so prolifically on humans that they're showing up in our water supply as well. And of course, one of those consequences for society is the connection between psychopharmaceuticals and mass shootings. If the primates in the zoo are on Prozac, Zoloft, etc., just make sure you don't give them the guns. We know what those drugs motivate people to do. Well, that's it for tonight's news. If you're not a Prison Planet TV subscriber, please consider becoming one. It not only helps to support our operation, but you can share it with up to 11 other people simultaneously. And this is a very critical time, a time of many manufactured crises. We have wars that are breaking out in the Middle East as well as in the Ukraine. So stay with us. We're going to be following that as well as the border collapse. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern with updates.
Celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. And now you can protect yourself from corrupt cops with the InfoWars dash cam. It's your car's black box that records all that the driver sees and hears. And introducing the Block It Pocket. It renders your phone undetectable while protecting your private data and your health. Or take back your privacy and protect your personal information by getting your very own detractor cell phone pouch. So get incredibly high quality freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.
How you doing, sir?
Yes, sir.
Is there a public affairs officer we can speak to, sir?
At this point, not right now. I don't know. Just let me check for you, okay?
Okay.
Hello? Sir? They're going to say not to let you in right now, okay?
So why is there...
Sir, I don't have any...
Okay, why do they have police officers,
sir,
here guarding the church?
I don't have any information for you. I can't give you any information.
So what are you doing here if you don't know what you're doing?
Sir, no. I know what I'm doing. I'm not letting you in.
Why not?
That's what I'm doing.
So you're going to keep us from...
From going in, yes, sir. Go ahead and pass that through the back, sir. You've been advised.
Okay.
Thank you.
There you have it. The government, once again, is keeping the people from finding out what's going on. You would think they would have... They don't have security. They actually have a police officer here guarding the entrance to the BCFS compound. We are being denied entrance into this facility right now. The Baptist Church Family Services, a government subcontractor which manages illegal immigrant shelters across the U.S., has placed a local police commander, not a security guard, outside the entrance of its regional headquarters in Harlingen, Texas. InfoWars attempted to visit the BCFS headquarters in Harlingen this afternoon to talk to their public information officer about its recent plan to buy the Palmera Hotel and Suites in Weslaco, Texas, which was going to be used to house illegal aliens. No doubt this show of force is in response to the severe backlash BCFS received after the alternative media broke the news about the proposed hotel purchase, which the company now claims it is no longer pursuing. The BCFS, which also manages the shelter housing 2,000 illegal immigrant youth on Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas, began as an orphanage in 1944, but has since emerged as a global network for companies which work for various federal agencies such as FEMA in response to government-declared emergencies. And other so-called religious charities are also profiting from the current border collapse. There's no doubt that this pampering of illegal aliens will only encourage more to risk their lives traveling thousands of miles to the U.S. And many will die on the journey after succumbing to dehydration, rattlesnake bites, beatings by violent gangs, and gruesome injuries after falling off of Mexican death trains. After being denied access by the commander, we drove down the road and saw an access road to our left. But there was no people outside walking around until we decided to get out and take a closer look. That's when cameraman John Bound got out of the vehicle and walked over to the premises. He was immediately met by a large man in a red shirt and behind him another six gentlemen in black shirts as well that started surrounding him and calling police authorities. We quickly left the premises.
You need me to leave? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, dude, you can't.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't realize that. Yeah. Okay.
Once again, the government doesn't want the people to know what's going on, what they're hiding, why they're smuggling humans into our country illegally. Our country is falling apart day by day. I'm Joe Biggs with InfoWars.com.
Alex Jones here to tell you about how you can help spread liberty worldwide while also enjoying what I have found to be the best tasting 100% organic coffee on the planet. For more than a decade, my favorite coffee has come from the high mountains of southern Mexico, where the Chiapas farmers grow their unique shade-grown Arabica beans. We have now managed to secure these sought-after beans in a highly customized blend. Discover and try a bag of the Patriot Blend 100% organic coffee at InfoWarsLife.com. This coffee gives gives you a long, smooth pick-me-up for hours without the headaches and heartburn that so many other coffees give me personally. Hands down, this is my favorite coffee, and it's taken us years to secure connections directly to the Chiapas Mexican farmers. Drop by the site today, order a bag or two, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Available in original or with our immune support infusion blend, you will be supporting a free press, all the while enjoying a truly great-tasting cup of my favorite coffee. Available at InfoWarsLife.com.